in this place, and I know it is the Spirit of the Lord. There is great expectation on each face, for we know we are in the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, oh, stay here with us, filling us with your love. And for each blessing, we lift our hearts in prayer. We know that we have been revived before we leave this place. There are blessings that you cannot receive. If you eat we have been revived before we leave this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, oh, stay here with us, filling us with your love. That we have been revived before we leave this place. Sweet Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Without a doubt, we know we have been revived before we leave this place. Amen. Could we all stand? I just want a dove to lead this eagle tonight. I just want a dove to lead this eagle home. Amen. Let's see all the hands that want a dove to lead. Amen. Everyone in the house of the Lord, that's what we're here for tonight in this place for. Amen. I know.
How many have that confidence tonight? He will keep you in this path. Amen. Because you have chosen the harder way, which is my way, huge portion of heaven awaits you. Amen. We have a prayer request. Pray for Sister Maman. For a cut that is getting very bad. I believe most of them know. Sister Maman from Cedrus. We just want to bow our heads and have a word of prayer. That Jehovah Rapha would touch her and heal her. Even tonight, whatever germ, whatever it is that is in that cut, may this prayer be zeroed into it tonight. May, as it go forth, it go straight to her, straight to that place in your foot, straight to where the cut is, where the germ is, and destroy it. And may healing begin, and may she be completely healed from it. We know our God is more than able tonight to do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even the other thing. We stand here with faith in a promise made by the Almighty God. Not no politician made a promise, not no man made a promise. God made a promise. Bible said the promises of God are yea and amen. He's not slack concerning his promises tonight. And we, as Abraham's seed, because we're in Christ, been baptized with the Holy Ghost, we are heirs of every promise that God made. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight, dear God, just to be in your presence. We thank you for each and every one. Lord God, who have not thought that the weather, Lord, is a hindrance, but Lord, they quickly have hurried to come into your house this evening. They might lift up holy hands and they might worship you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the sweet spirit in this place tonight. We thank you for the gifts of God that have found their places. And it's a blessing to our hearts how we feel so blessed tonight as, Lord, your love has been expressed through his gifts, singing that song unto us tonight. Lord, we appreciate it, Father. Every blessing you have blessed us with, Lord, we want to recognize it and show forth, Lord, the honor and the glory and the praise that you richly deserve for putting these things in the body of Christ to be a blessing unto us. And Father, we stand here tonight knowing there's a sister in need. Lord, an elderly sister, Lord, and one, Lord, who just recently went through an operation. Lord, but such a faithful soul in the Word of God. Standing, Lord God, for the truth that you have sent forth this hour. Way down in Cedrus tonight, Father. But Lord, call for help have come. And Lord, we stand here tonight. We unite our faith together. As we think of this dear one who, Lord, we love so much, Father. Lord, remember the old days when we just come to know you. Lord God, how we met her, Lord, and we saw her faith in Christ and the stand she have taken, Lord. And Lord, how she kept faithful through these years, just growing stronger and stronger and being closer drawn to you. And Lord, tonight as she called for help, Lord God, we come with that slingshot up. Prayer and faith tonight, going after her in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, sending forth a word of prayer from this place. Hallelujah. Lord, may the angel of God go now. Father, quickly hurry to Cedrus. Lord, the little home where she lives down there, Father. And Lord, may you move into that home, dear God. And Lord, that place in her body, Lord, where she's cut, Lord, and where it is very bad. It don't want to heal because maybe some germ or something inside of it. Lord God, may stretch forth your hand of healing and heal in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Destroy that germ, Father, whatever disease it may be, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, may she be quickly healed for the glory of God tonight. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for all those that are here and those that would have liked to be here tonight. Maybe for some reason they could not make it, Father. Lord God, may you bless them even as they may sit in their homes tonight with their thoughts upon you. May the dove sweep over them tonight. Sweep over the souls, dear God. And Lord, we as you would sit here in your presence, may you just drop in upon each and every one right in this seat, dear Father. And Lord God, may your love be revealed in such a way in their hearts that would bring them into a closer union with you. Bless each and every one tonight. and bless your word and bless our time of fellowship and prayer, for we commit this service into your hands and each and every one, and we ask all these things in the worthy name of Jesus Christ for your honor and for your glory. Amen. May I have a seat tonight? We're sorry for those who have to stand tonight. We're not able to seat them and the rain, you know, just falling there. But may God bless them for their faithfulness. That we, when we come to serve God, we ain't thinking about rain or sunshine. We're thinking about Calvary, amen. We're thinking about all His blessed promises. And we're thinking of what it means to us. So, I remember Abraham used to talk about those people when he went to Mexico, South Africa, different places to preach the gospel. He said, sometime from 7 o'clock in the morning, the people would be standing there for a service all 9 o'clock in the night. And they would stand there waiting, and the sun would be so hot, heat wave and all kind of things, and those people would just lean up against one another to get a shade. And you know, when you think of that, you know, people jump back, then they can't leave there to go to a toilet or something, and they just have to stand up there all that time because they want to hear the word of God. Just thinking of just one moment to grasp something. So really, you know, thank God for those tonight who would, you know, would stand up maybe a couple of hours there and, you know, don't think nothing about it, but just glad to know that they could be out here where they could hear the word and they could be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit tonight. Remember one time too, he said he was down in Mexico and, you know, it had such a rainstorm the night, and he thought the meeting was washed out, and he go to tell the people, he said, well, you don't have no meeting, I better take off his suit. All of a sudden, some of the brothers drive up in the car, and they say, we come for you. He said, I thought I just got about to take off my suit. I thought I was going to have no meeting. He said, I can't get even to the meeting near about a city block away. He said, it's packed out this morning. They storming to the people nothing. They come to hear the word of God. You know, and to see that in that time, people who might be big doctors, might have great, big businessmen, sell out their gas stations, sell out all their business, and they come to work as some little grocery boy near the tabernacle where they can get to go to the service. So precious the word of God was unto them. For all the denominational years, they had been there in religious bondage, designed to hear the truth. Somebody would minister an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom unto them. And here they heard the word of God coming forth from a prophet. They was willing to sell out whatever they had. Just, you can imagine a man who's a big successful businessman selling out everything and just go and take a trailer, buy a trailer and pitch it somewhere in a abandoned piece of land or something where they could be living along the tabernacle to go and hear the word. But Abraham said people drive through slick roads in the winter time over the mountains, hundreds of miles, 1500 miles sometimes, to come for a 45-minute service. Amen. When you think of the great faith and the sacrifice that they made, and many of them today have gone on to rest, but a few of us have been left behind to finish up the work. Amen. And that's why we come day and night, we try to consecrate ourselves and dedicate ourselves, because we know it's just a few more days, and we are the last few remaining ones left behind here to finish up what I've left to be fulfilled. And the responsibility has been placed upon our shoulders, and that's why we try to be so real, sincere, and not to be compromising and have to be halfway and to take it lightly, but to realize that it's we who have been left behind, that by and through us, all that is promised to be fulfilled this time will be fulfilled. That God promised to finish the work of redemption by and through us. What a great calling we are called on. The Bible says, walk worthy of the vocation unto which we are called. So we really appreciate each and every one tonight who have the love of God in their heart and who desire to just to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God, to know how to be a better Christian. You didn't come here to spectate or criticize. You come here to, whether it be rebuked, whether it be chastised, whether it be corrected, whether it be edified, whatever it is, that you might find how to be a better Christian tonight. Amen. Amen. Because we realize the word of God have come forth all to a prophet. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. God has been calling our people unto perfection. He have tell us, leave the organizations. Come out of my people and be that partaker of a plague, because our sinners reach up to heaven. You have the atomic bomb waiting for her. Amen. And you know, Abraham says, I forget what he said. He said, something about the you know, the power, the nuclear power, something like that will put the people in the World Council of Churches, but the power of God will put the people in the bride. So we see they had all the nuclear weapons, all these things. He says, just like Jesus, they rejected the Messiah. The Jews, he came unto them, they rejected that ministry, the Son of Man. And when they rejected it, you know, Jesus stood up one time, he wrote the temple, he said, not one stone going to remain stand upon his temple. Amen. Because you look at the prophecy in Daniel 9, the Messiah will be cut off, but the people, the prince, will come and destroy the sanctuary with a flood. Yeah. Amen. And he knew as he was the Messiah, it was time for him to be cut off. But he knew also the people, the prince, would destroy the sanctuary with a flood. And he said, not one stone. The people begin to weep when he's going up Golgotha Hill. And he turned around and said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourself and the children.
Amen.
Amen. You didn't recognize your Daniel message. You didn't recognize the day of visitation. Weep for yourself and for your children. Because the time is going to come, you'll say, blessed are they who don't even give sup. Amen. To the children.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he said, if he did that when the tree is green, what would they do when it is a dry tree? And then Balaam says, he says, look what happened afterwards. Titus came in there. A type of the communists, and they destroyed Jerusalem. The church world that rejected the message that they received. He said America rejected that message, and he saw in his seventh vision, it will be destroyed fire.
Yeah.
Amen. See? And then, you know, when we saw that, he says that the Russians, the communists, because fascism and Nazism were swallowed up in communism, and they have that bomb waiting for the America. Waiting for all the World Council of Churches, waiting for the Vatican, waiting for all them. God is going to use them to destroy them. But the bride, the angel of God himself, have dropped down among the people.
Yeah.
It is Jehovah himself.
Amen, amen, amen.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And you know, some of the brothers, some of the people, a few brothers saying, you know, they kind of disturbed because I was seeing that the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in the prophet. That is not a wrong statement. If people know the message, they will know that the Lord himself descended from heaven. I was veiled in a Son of Man to reveal the Son of Man. Amen. That is a quote in Desperation, page 5. He says, the entire Holy Spirit, the entire Holy Spirit will be made flesh to reveal the Son of Man. Amen. Page 17, somewhere there, he says, and we have seen this time, he said, the fullness of the Godhead bodily have to be made flesh again.
Amen,
amen. The same ministry of Jesus Christ will be incarnate, reincarnated in the church.
Amen.
Amen. To have an understanding of what has been happening. So the two could join together, the head and the body could join together. The same corner of wheat must come back to prove Hebrews 13:8.
Amen.
Amen. The same corner of wheat. God is identified by his characteristics. It took itself. Is the word himself, took the word itself to reveal himself back here among the people again. So you see, we understand what have happened in this evening time. That is our consolation, that God is here amongst us. And nothing is going to happen to us. Fear not, little sister. There's a man here that can turn on the light. That's why we don't have to try to reason out nothing. We don't have to try to think out nothing. We don't have to try to work out nothing. God have come down. That will have to be revealed to you.
Yeah.
Amen. The dove is here to lead the eagle.
Oh,
then if the dove is here to lead the eagle, then man is out of the picture.
Yeah.
Amen. No man is nothing. I am nothing. No man is nothing around the world.
Yeah.
Amen. The dove is here.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the dove is here.
Yeah.
What would it be that I am here and the dove is not here?
Yeah.
We have an intellectual gathering.
Yeah.
Amen. If we don't know a man in the dove is here, we'll be blessed still.
Amen.
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 My, so if we have that revelation in our hearts, then, you know, we could be humble and walk in the light of his word. Amen. Because this is what is happening here, that God is come down among the people. And this is the revelation we have to preach.
Amen.
What is the shepherd's message? The Messiah is on the earth. Not we are shepherds, the Messiah is on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. But you by a revelation will know that a shepherd when you hear the Messiah is on the earth coming out of his lips.
Amen.
Not just when he's saying the Messiah is on the earth, but when he's going in the manger and pointing to where the Messiah lay. Say, look what the angel said he be laying. Look him here, he's the Messiah.
Amen.
The prophet the greatest prophet that ever walked the face of the earth. From Enoch to this day. You know what I think of how humble God is? Sometimes I think, I say God is so humble that when God came in his own ministry on the earth, in his corporal body, to die there, he didn't do great things as when he did in this ministry here. But the Bible says when he turned the water into wine, amen, when he turned the water into wine, he says, you know what happened there? He says, that was water potentially already. But when he spoke the scriptures, it was nothing coming to something. Amen. You see, and then, you know, this day, is when Jesus on the earth, he spoke more of his second coming than he spoke of his first coming. 80% of the thing that he spoke in the Bible in the earthly ministry was pertaining to his second coming. Because this is the golden time. This is the greatest of all ages, this age, where time is blended with eternity. Amen. See, and to see that a ministry like that have come in this hour, and when he was called the scene, he didn't say, look to the shepherds, he said, look away to Jesus. Amen. So, then we try to point you to Jesus Christ, the headstone himself, because when he's here, everybody must decrease. And if when he was here, John to decrease, how much more for all of us to decrease, knowing he's here? Amen. So when he's here, then every man have to decrease, because we don't watch him on earth, we watch what we're eating. And we feed on the unfailing body of the Son of Man, where the carcasses of the other eagles be gathered together. Amen. So we're really glad to be here, and we feel a nice, you know, quiet spirit in the place tonight, and sometimes we just like it to be just a little quiet like this, where we can sit down, we can talk from our hearts one to the other, because it's such a time that we're living in, and we always want to, you know, have a true understanding from the scripture as to what is happening and what is taking place, and things is happening with such rapidity, we just want to try to keep in line with the word of God. And, you know, we have been preaching since last week. I've been speaking, you know, there about the tenth vision and entering into a secret closet, and this will not be impersonated. So when that time happens, it means to say the make-believers have gone as far as they could go. Once a season like that is identified, and the secret closet goes for Brother Branham, when he was told by the angel, enter into there, it meant then that nobody's going to follow you no more. Amen. It's time now for their folly to be manifest. It's because it's time for the... And the only thing they couldn't impersonate was the word.
Amen.
The signs went forth, but now their voice was coming forth. And to bring the true word. That's why I was preaching the leadership of eternal life. And to me, it was such an outstanding message back a couple of weeks ago, if you had caught the revelation, what I was trying to say in the leadership of eternal life, that if you get a revelation of the word coming forth in continuity, revealing the mystery of God for this hour, that could never be lost.
Amen.
That could never fall. That could never get fade away. Because that is God himself again.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we try to preach the word, you know, in such a way that you will not be confused, but you'd have a true understanding and be able to discern the difference between right and wrong.
Amen.
You say, but I know the difference between right and wrong. No, you don't know it if you have the Holy Ghost. Because millions will be deceived and go to hell because they don't know the difference between right and wrong. The only way to know the difference between right and wrong is to have the real evidence of the new birth, of being born again. Amen. Because many people had thought they were spirit-filled when they had manifestations of the Holy Spirit that was supernatural in the life. And many people, when they saw manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, they know that was supernatural, and they know only the Holy Spirit can do that. We know the devil can't heal. We don't believe the devil can heal. It's impossible for the devil to heal. Because healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen. See, we know Satan cannot cast out Satan. Is there anybody over a man the spirit leave? No. You see,
Now watch. We want to send a word. I don't care what you think. The word can be wrong. If you get a thought that making the word wrong, then your thought has to be wrong. Because God is infallible.
Amen.
And these people get deceived because they have a spirit that is cannot believe the scripture as it is written, the way it is written, the way God meant it. But they want it slightly interpreted or slightly bent or slightly in a space to accommodate something. And Brother Ram put a message right inside of there called the thinking man filter. And talk about how the filter, the cigarette filter, there's a law, a certain amount of nicotine to come through. He said, but God will filter, they will let nothing come through but the word.
Amen.
And ministers who have the thinking man filter, they're the most hated ministers they have.
Yeah.
But they're loved by the elect.
Amen.
You see, because when you put the thinking man filter, ain't nothing will pass but the word.
Amen.
Not even good motives or good intentions will pass.
Amen.
Only dust, saith the Lord, will pass through.
Amen.
And that is what we want to have.
Amen.
A thinking man filter. The waters of separation, you call it. Amen. That separate truth from error.
Amen.
Amen. When you come to that water separation, You stand a sinless, spotless, virtuous bride of the Son, the living God, who never did sin in the first place.
Amen.
When you come to that.
Yeah.
But outside here, you're blind, you're naked, you're wretched, you're miserable, and you don't know it. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. But when you come to the water of separation, you're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things become new. Amen. And that is why Balaam says you have to make the gospel make heaven high and make hell hot and keep it gone barrel straight.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's what the church need is a good washing out, wringing out, drying out, ironing out by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that's why because God comes for a church without spot or without wrinkle.
Amen.
Amen. There's no wrinkle, you have to iron out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a spot, you got a good washing out.
Amen.
Amen. You see, and a wringing out. A breach, you know, you see?
Amen.
So then you find that there's a season and it's still here, it ain't finished yet, because when God showed his approval of a perfect church, then we can know then that, you know, that season is finished. But that season has to remain here, that the word will have to be that way.
Amen.
To make sure that we present real confessions. Amen. I don't mean, but I make a mistake. I don't mean that. I'm talking about believe with your heart and confess with your mouth.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. The revelation of the word being interpreted for the hour.
Yeah. Amen.
That confession.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Whom do men say the Son of Man am?
Yeah.
Though at the Christ is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
That Balaam said, that is the confession. He said, upon this rock,
yeah,
I'll build my church.
Amen.
He said, then the end-time evangelism is to cut the stones,
yeah,
to build the temple.
Amen,
to have real confessions,
yeah,
like what Peter had.
Yeah.
That's what God built the temple on.
Yeah.
So you cannot be in the temple if you don't have a confession.
Yeah.
If you don't have a seventh seal confession. What is your confession under the seventh seal?
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene said, I have seen the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, I have met the pillar of fire. I have handled the word of life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He touched me and he made me whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was like legion in the tomb.
Yeah.
I was born in chains.
Yeah.
Then Jesus came.
Yeah.
And amen, my chains fell off. The demons left me. I came out from the religious cemeteries.
Yeah.
Amen. See, all right, Mary Magdalene was packed with demons.
Yeah.
I had seven devils, pride, ambition, and lust, all those kind of different things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But then Jesus came.
Yeah.
Amen. He touched me. He transformed me. See? See, I like blind Bartimaeus. Amen. I sat by the wayside begging.
Yeah.
See, I clutched my rod, I showed in the shadows. But then Jesus came.
Amen,
and I could see, what do I see? I see the mystery of God being interpreted in my own life. I see myself in the word for the hour.
Amen.
I was like a blind man. Amen. Who was told go wash in the pool of Siloam? Amen. See, all these years among the Pharisees, they couldn't open their eyes. And a brain. Hallelujah. Amen. They tell me about being the message, they were being this, they were that, but a brother doesn't have a prophet. But then God anointed my eyes. They didn't go wash in the pool of Siloam. I didn't want to go in that pool. But I had to go in that pool. The first thing I saw in the one self, my reflection in the water. Amen. See, he never saw Jesus first. He didn't see Peter or John first. What do you mean to wash the first? He saw his own self. He saw himself in the water. And the first thing he saw his own self. Amen. See? Then Jesus came. So when the word comes to you, when your experience with the resurrected word, you see, when the word came, many of us were not wrong. And the scribes and the Pharisees crucified the Prince of Life with wicked hands again. And he had to indict them a second time for crucifying Jesus Christ in this generation. Because the first crucifixion was the builders reject the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is the Son of Man that has been revealed here. And the second crucifixion, the builders rejecting the headstone. Because this is the area of the head, so the Son of Man is revealed again. Amen. But then he has risen, it is the rising of the sun. Amen. He is back here amongst us. More than even Nicolai prophecy, he appeared in the evening time. Walked through the shut among the disciples. It is I, be unafraid. Amen. Handle me. And then we begin to have experiences around the world wherever he is appearing, showing himself alive by infallible proofs, manifestation of his presence. He appeared among the believers. Amen. And while he appeared among them, they now they were getting a revelation with the of the resurrected word in the midst. Then when he come back there, he revealed about the promise. He revealed about the opening of seven seals. He revealed what that meant. He revealed how the disciples sat on walking towards the mirrors. He revealed where we have to go to receive the dynamics. He revealed that when he come amongst us. Because it will open our understanding to the word that is opened.
Amen.
Amen. See, the word is opened, but our understanding was not opened. So we said the message, but we couldn't understand what you're saying still. Amen. But then he opened our understanding, and then we could recognize what he's talking about. Then we're getting ready for something to happen. Amen. So we notice then that you have to have a confession. And your confession is something that you have to see to know that if you are part of what is happening.
Amen.
Amen. And that would be a revelation with the word of God that is promised to come to you at your time. To know you are part of that word. To recognize your true identity.
Amen.
Amen. To get a revelation of the purpose why God has called you. To know what is working behind your mysterious life to achieve and bring to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Then you've been taught these things more perfectly. Amen. Then we fellowship in these things, getting ready for His word of promise to be interpreted inside our lives. Completely, perfectly. Like we'll be totally identified, we can leave this place. Amen. So, we notice then that if you don't have that, then you might be a believer. But you're the kind of believer who believe in unto receiving.
Amen, brother.
It don't mean you're not a daughter of God or a son of God. You just believe in unto receiving. You just haven't reached that place in your belief yet.
Yeah.
So you have to keep on believing and keep on moving on. Then when he himself comes to you and quicken the word to you, then the word that you say, I have seen the Lord. Now when Mary said she saw the Lord, she didn't, she told Peter, I saw the Lord. We shouldn't talk about like Jesus because, all of them were looking for Jesus, physical Jesus. They sat by him, you see? But the Lord she's talking about is the resurrected Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I've seen the Lord. See, and your testimony, you have seen the Lord. That I say, if somebody asked my Mark, he said, dream just last night. Praying the Lord appeared to me. I see the Lord. So what did he look? He had a beard, he had nails cast, his eyes were full of compassion. How did he look? Now that might be all right. But that is not it. It is seeing him in the fulfilling of the word. What scripture you believe you see Jesus? Amen. Because Jesus appeared to Tommy Osborne, go and preach the gospel. But he couldn't see really Malachi 4 and right before him. So he stayed in the denomination. I went away. Oh Lord, some of them had visions of the Lord. He appeared to them. Jesus himself come there with bleeding hands and these things. When they saw a picture, material picture like of the Hoffman head or something. And maybe they felt, you know, mean in their heart and they repent and they cry or something. What good would have done for Barabbas to see Jesus when he saw that the Hoffman had his face turned to the side and then couldn't recognize the scripture for himself? Wouldn't it do him no good? When Jesus is the Word. See? And then we realize then that when you see that Word, you see Jesus Christ. This is what we're talking about. The unveiling of God. The sister was singing the song that I was thinking about. They sing the song, surely, not surely, they are sweet presence, and we know that we are in the presence of the Lord. How do we know we are in the presence of the Lord? Because we feel something pass over us and, oh my, and I feel a nice, peaceful feeling, right? No, that don't mean that. But we can walk out here still blind to the word. Amen. But when we could break into the reality, when you could break past the veil, which is concept of the veil or ideas or conception, to recognize what part of the world is being fulfilled, that when we see it, we could see God interpreting His word, then we're in the presence of God. That is what being in the presence of God is. Unveil of God. You break the veil of tradition and you see Him unveiled. You see Him unveiled. You don't see three gods. You look at the pillar of fire, you look at the Hoffman head, and you look at the angel with the swept back wings, and you see one person. You just see three different forms of one God. You don't see the pillar of fire, that is God, and there is Jesus, and that is the angel. Amen. You're seeing Jesus all the time. Your mind is unlocked. And a revelation is in your heart. And you know who you worship. Jesus told the body well, you know not who you worship. But we know who we worship. Amen. So when you're worshiping God, you must know who we worship. And how to worship Him. Amen. And then He is revealing Himself to us. And the proof that it is Him is when it compares with the Word. In the old days, they had this, they called it the Urim and Thummim. And the high priest would wear this here, strap onto him. And any man who sees only God when he speak, if that don't light up, he didn't get it from God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And they had to come to the priest with it, and he stand there. Amen. See? So then we see when they all are here, to keep the Messiahship straight. To keep in step with the word. Thus saith the Lord. I've been preaching the past few weeks and I want to speak one or two things tonight as we in a nice little atmosphere that you could understand what we're going on. So now we're preaching the service like we on Thursday in Baatari, because the work is being done in Baatari, you know. Here you need a follow-up. You see the work the Holy Spirit is doing in Baatari, but here's just a little follow-up. Here's a little place we set aside to pray. Here you among the olives and Gethsemane. Amen. See, Jesus would go to Gethsemane and you'd pray. Go to among the olives and you'd cry and weep and pray. See, we come here for that. But the opening of the word where God, where the word is going forth, is there. See, there is where God is delivering the people. Amen. That's the place that I get a test to go. That's the pigsty. By the time the pigsty, when the Holy Ghost go there, that's the place people afraid to go. Everybody afraid to go there. Nobody gonna fight to come here. Anybody get sweep in here. But by the time, oh my, Brother Rogers, people, a bunch of sinners up there. I know, to go up there, you see? They tremble to go in that place. So when they go there, they stand there and say, hit the dirt! Amen. Amen. We got our brother Mitch tonight. Amen. Coming to the room, but nevertheless. Amen. So, no, when I said in Bata, the Holy Spirit says, I can't stand up here and say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I can't say, dip 7 times here. Here, I don't have that.
Amen,
but in Bata, I can say, when they hear me say, dip in the Jordan 7 times.
Yeah.
I mean, get down in the mud and get the leprosy off of you.
Yeah.
Amen. No man will come and live. You see, Naaman wanted the prophet to come and put his hands on him and pray for him.
Yeah.
But that wasn't Naaman's sickness. Naaman's sickness was the leprosy. Naaman's sickness was the pride.
Yeah.
Amen. So he said, go in the Jordan and dip 7 times.
Yeah.
See, notice when the revival had started sometime in June, July, somewhere there. No, I think in June. A bunch of people coming there in June and I stood up there. I went up the evening and I preached out 2 Kings 5 and St. John Gospel chapter 9. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, go wash in the Jordan.
Yeah.
Amen. See, I said, go wash in the Jordan.
Amen.
Amen. See, I said, come in here, but go wash in the Jordan. Fine, not go wash in the pool of Bethesda.
Nope.
See, don't go and wash in that pool, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Naaman said, why can't I go to the rivers of Abner and Paphos? They're nicer rivers.
Yeah.
And the cities in Adela, better rivers in Damascus.
Yeah.
He said, no, go and wash in the Jordan. That dirty one there. Get down there, hit the dirt. Amen. So you see, God choose that place because there you find a sheep gate. You have to crawl in there. Ain't no man is walking there. When a man come in there, he might look like he walk on his feet, but in his heart, he crawling and coming in there. Amen. See? So you see, God have that place there. For that purpose. That is designed for that purpose. You see here nice. A lot of people like a nice little church.
Yeah.
There's a whole shed.
Yeah.
Amen. See, I remember when we ended up there in February. It was just some planks. I ordered some gazette paper and some bricks. Oh, we had Brother John. And a little, the women just had them thing in the house. A little kind of tinning center table like. You know, you can have a folded leg and pack. We had it for a pulpit. And that's what we had. I started preaching over there the 15th of February. The first message I preach is you can't add a new piece of garment or an old piece of garment. I say you all might never call me back, but let me tell you all as this. Amen. See? I say you can't put new wine in old bottles. Amen. And then God had Brother Williams there after the service coming. He said, we'll see you Thursday again. Amen. You see? And something happened there. You see? And then when it happened, we come back along and being a preach there, preaching all the time. I ain't telling them I'm preaching on 7 tunnels. Just preaching the word. You know, this guy's in the word. And just preaching it. And then one morning, the Holy Spirit said, this is the morning of pull the veil off the word.
Amen.
So I went the morning, I said, well, this morning, I'm going to come out plain and let you all know what I'm preaching. Amen. I can't tell them as well, this is 7 tunnels, these things, the preacher gives it. And not one person back down. Everybody believe that word. Amen. See, there have been a come through there, and the type of weight was. But you see, God was the one who chose that place. A favorable contract. Amen. Also means a place of the burning flame. Amen. Enter into the pillar of fire.
Amen.
Amen. See? And you find it there that what has happened there, you find the Holy Spirit was able to work successfully there from February the 15th, 1979 to this time, and we could not imagine in our minds what God would have done there. From 1976, I preach a message right here called War on Terrorism.
Yeah.
And that way you all hear me preach, so you all might not understand why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching, and why I go into them controversial things, and why I take my stand and preach those things. But many saints here from 1976 will know what is happening. And there we should be preaching a war on terrorism. And we're talking about how God, you know, is training a people, a group of commandos. And those days they were hijacking planes and they had all these things. We still have some of them tapes, I believe, in the library. And, you know, where they were hijacking all them planes and they had these group of commandos to say they could get, they'd be so trained that at 5 minutes notice they could fly to any part of the world. And that would be trained all kind of different things to deliver people. You see, because Sister Anne Murray had a dream that need no interpretation.
Yeah.
Amen. And a voice point said, go and tell them to say the prayer quickly is midnight.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, Brother Ram preached, it was 3 minutes of midnight. With 1946, when the Jews go back in the homeland, that was 3 minutes of midnight. Amen. 1946, in God's time, was 3 minutes of midnight.
Yeah.
The Jews is going back in the homeland. The time of science, in the scientific world, 3 minutes of midnight. Here come the midnight hour, gross darkness is upon the place. Spiritual death is striking. Amen. But the children of Israel is in Goshen. Amen. And you find there, we went there, we're going to preach quickly, you know, different places. The Holy Spirit just would lead us when we were preaching the word. But the Holy Spirit has given revelations just in the place where the people is confused. That's why I see people don't understand why the success is like this. Because not just thing didn't preach, a specific thing didn't preach, dealing with what goes inside the people's heart. They cannot sit, come from under no false intimation and sit there for two services and go back all confused. If the sins in the heart, the Holy Spirit will break up all those things, set them free. You see, because a pardon, they are being given a pardon. It's a pardon God extended to them. They cage, but God says, accept your pardon. But a pardon is a pardon, except it's a pardon. People can come and see the truth and walk back away in bondage like Johnny Crow and say, I tie, I can't move, I can't go to that bong, I tie. You see? They could be that way too.
Yeah,
that's it. You see? So you're finding that what's been happening, they've been preaching the word and the Holy Spirit giving certain messages. I remember I told Brother Carlot once, I told him, I said, look, the reason that I'm going to begin to sort of travel and go on the outside, I believe that God, you know, showed me he's going to use the ministry outside to other people too. So I go outside and preach different places in Venezuela. God had us go on there, open the door there, and begin to preach the word. When we went on in 1979, the first time, when we went on there, and I begin to preach, and right, the Lord showed me certain things there and down there, and I begin to go down there and preach until the word begin to find a place in the hearts of the elected seed. And though the communication barrier, you know, was there to extent, yet the word of God that was sown in the people's heart, it brought such a relationship and such a union, you see, among the people. Then we went to Grenada, we went there, and we just passed along one, just for a little rest. About 4 days we spent, Brother Neville, myself, Brother Robbie, and who it was again? Brother Willie. And we went there, and we just visit a couple of churches. We only had 2 churches in the message. And I preach by Brother Gilbert. And we went in there, and when you walk in there, like you walk in a cemetery the night. And the place was dead, and you know, because he had a lot of false teaching there. He believed he's a prophet to go to Israel and these things. And you find that when you walk in there, in just about 2 services, the people were shouting and praising God off the seat until he called a special service the next night. They called for a special service, you see? Because, and he himself, when he was so surprised, he himself, like, he gets on fire too, you see? Because just the place, you see, the place is like a nerve you have to touch, but you have to know the nerves to touch. You see? It's not just, they have the whole message about a lot of things, but you have to know the place to touch. Just, it's something they got to see. When they see that, they get brave. They get fearless. They get bold. They're going to get stand. It's something they see. Now, if they see that, they'll always go along. They love God. They go to church. They miss their service. But they'll go along. But they'll never have that next thing. You see? So, it's something they have to see. And right in there, the Holy Spirit will begin to give certain revelations. I remember when people were scared of the 7 tunnels, everybody scared of the 7 tunnels. Holy Spirit said, alright, they're scared. They were running time and say 7 tunnels, very close up. I'll give you another way to go in there.
Yeah.
See? So I've been a preach separate in Malachi 4 from St. Luke 7:30.
Yeah.
I've been a preach that God bring me revelations right inside there to preach and show Malachi 4, Eliezer, he never saw no seed of nobody. Eliezer went to Babylon, bring a bride to Babylon, but bring the bride to Isaac. Isaac took the bride. and took the bride into the tent. Amen. You see? So then you were separating that day and showing that John was not the light, but John introduced the light, the real Messiah. See? And you know, bring it back to this day and showing those things there. Because Balaam says, that is why it seems so hard for the people in the anointed ones in the end time. You see, they can't separate the angel, the seventh angel, from the Son of Man.
Yes. Amen, brother.
He said, that is why it's so hard for them.
Yeah.
That's why they miss it, because the two ministries was in one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. St. Luke 7:30 and Malachi 4:5 was one in fulfilling one body,
yeah,
but two in two different people.
Yeah.
One is Jesus Christ and one is Brother Branham.
Yeah.
Elijah the prophet, that is Brother Branham. The spirit of Elijah, Malachi 4:5, but St. Luke 7:30, the Son of Man.
Amen.
But the Son of Man revealed through the ministry of Elijah too.
Amen.
See? And then begin to preach there to show the people the seventh seal, what the seventh seal is.
Yeah.
You see? The Son of Man, Christ Himself, descending, the Lord Himself, descending from heaven.
Amen.
But where did He went? He went behind human skin. That is like a pretty unveiling of God. How could He unveil God if God wasn't there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, that is what it misses. If you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know what to follow.
Amen.
And that's why it takes the Holy Spirit Himself to come to let you know what the message was all about. That's what I was trying to show Sunday there in preaching what the message is. If you say you're in the message, what the message is, what you're preaching as the message, you see? Because in the message there, is something being said all the time. And whatever revelation we get in is what the messenger already received and put in tape and book form. You see? But then now he said we ought to be taught it a certain way. You see? There's a way we have to know it. See?
And I remember just referring to one or two of the brothers here. The unveiling of God, Brother Bram was speaking. He said, you all remember when I went out there in and I preached David going to meet Goliath, and that is when he was commissioned by the angel in the cave. He went back to the tabernacle and telling him, he said, this is not my tabernacle, God's about to go on the world. Remember 9:33, I'm a Zuruka evangelist, well, the time is now, I'm beginning to go on the world now, so I have to leave you all here, but I never will be the pastor and these things, and I'm going out. And he told him those things, and he preached a message called David and Goliath, because he's going to meet our religious world of unbelief. And he was sitting on veil of God. He said, follow from that time, all the tapes coming right down to this time, and you will see how plain it gets. And he was talking about from when he went out in the field, David going to meet Goliath, until he was preaching the unveiling of God. Here he was unveiling God, and here it's like an evangelist going in the field. And from that time to that time, something had happened in the prophet ministry, unseen to the people, unknown to the people.
Yeah.
They never knew when the angel was there until the angel was veiled.
Yeah.
When the big change, they never knew. Is that the word begin to come forth now? The only word is coming forth now. They were still seen by Abraham, but the voice was the God Himself speaking now. They didn't understand that this is another ministry now. This is the corn of wheat come back to full maturity. This is the wave, sheaf being wave, a first fruit now. And he had a preach now out of the scripture to let them understand what was happening. But it was not understand because it is the same man they accustomed seeing from since 1946. Now it's there the bride is getting a revelation and is getting caught up into something that's happening here that you cannot show people with the natural eye neither.
Yeah.
What you're trying to show them cannot be seen with the natural eye. Because it's a total secret.
Yeah.
The seventh seal is a total secret.
Amen.
It is for a certain qualified group of people who have a sense to contact the unseen.
Yeah.
And it takes the intervention of the angel of God, the Holy Spirit Himself, in your life. The world will not see me, you will see me. Because I will come and manifest myself to you.
Amen.
Then when that happens to you, you have your confession.
Yeah.
Because it quickens you now.
Amen.
to that revelation that he descended in 1963,
yeah.
Unknown to the world, and he's here. That's what he's quickening you to. The reign is over in 7 since he left the Father throne. It's no longer the session of redemption. And you are one of them who will sit with him in the millennium. So he begins to show you yourself in Revelation 19. He says, see that you come back with me to reign on the earth as kings and priests. So he can give you a new name and all these things all here. He said, you will be in the marriage supper. You only will be called to the wedding supper. You will have part with me in the first resurrection. So then you now are looking for the promises. You're not just in a message following the group now, but he manifests himself to you. He quicken you. And you break into the reality of something. And there you are. See? And you go, people see your body, your physical body. They watch you with a physical eye. This is that person, a Christian. He just fellowship up in that place, up in Cookie there. He just didn't go in Bataria, see? And they're watching you. They say, oh, you in this Branham message too. And they see the physical eye. But they don't know where you are. They already seen you. They don't know what you caught up in. They think they'll do the next group, the next cult, the next interpretation. But they don't know when they're going to talk to you. Are you going to tell what God you know and God being veiled now? Amen. And what part of the world is being interpreted now? Then they'll be, if they have any life in them, we're going to incite of where you are. And that great revelation, the Holy Spirit come and reveal there that God is not dealing with your body or your spirit right now. He's dealing with your soul. That's the part you deal with. That brand preach souls that are in prison now. Because the third pull went not to the human spirit, that was the second pull. The third pull went to the soul. And when it went to the soul, it means it went to the genes of God. You get that? Because the soul is the predestinated part of you before there's a spirit. So when he went there, in which part of the book your name written now? The book alive with the Lamb section.
Yeah.
You see where that went now?
Amen.
So when he went to the soul now, it's either mercy or judgment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's either first resurrection or second resurrection. It's not which church you belong to now. It's not how long you're serving God now. It's not whether you speak in tongues or you pray somebody to get healed. It's not that at all. If it's actually your name written in the book there now, whether Jesus died for you and died on the cross, whether you will go up in the first resurrection or not, whether you are part of the body of Christ, whether you always had eternal life or not, that's when you get there. You see? So when he went to that realm now, then the word had to come forth, because the only a gift wouldn't do that part nothing. A gift wouldn't do that part nothing at all. The only thing that deal with that part is the word. My sheep. He said a little eagle of a seed in the air. You know the eagle, not usually eagle, you know. The gene is the eagle. He said a little eagle of a seed in the air. Heard the cry. See that little part of you in the air responding back to the, because it is part of the very same word for the age. You see? And then when you see that and you wake up to that, then you get to realize what's happening. So you find coming through the message those past few years and been preaching this and preaching that, and you know you're coming along with the people there and you're preaching, but you know there is things in the message. You see, I never just stop in the message. Preach and stop. I never just preach and stop. From the time I see the message and see some things there, I would go into them things. I would begin to see God for them things. Because I was seeing things in the message that had to be revealed at a point in time. As we were checking the time, as we were watching it, that you preach, I would preach more time. Because you cannot have no expectation, you cannot look for no promise if you don't have no time. The first you must know is time. Because God promises a lot for a certain season of time. So when you know what time you're living in, then you can know what is promised with the time you live in. Then God identifies his time by a sign. Then you can recognize the sign, identifying what time you're living in, to know in a certain season that you can start to behave a certain way. You can know when the beat change. And if you don't know that, then you find just go along. So time is important. That's what Daniel found. When Daniel was reading Jeremiah writing, he found out there's only 2 more years.
Amen.
And he began to seek God, and Gabriel came down and revealed the whole thing to him. See? And then he said the same way the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come to the church to reveal the deep secret things to get the church ready to go out. And knowing that there was a promise that the Holy Spirit would come, we didn't understand that because Balaam said, didn't try to understand the message. When he come to the seventh seal, he said, because he's not ordained to get it.
Yeah.
He said, not time for it yet. He said, pass the, but we'll come back around.
Yeah.
See, he said, you live on land right. God give us ABC.
Yeah.
Do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. And that was a first part of the message that I always preach.
Yeah.
They go to every place, they were them people in the message, preach hard, boy. Everybody, blasting Jesse Bell, blasting Bobby here, blasting short dress, blasting short pants, blasting this. See? My blasting Baptist, blasting Pentecostal. My! But then, that was a season. See, that one phase it. See, because you couldn't let no Pentecostal hang over among the people. Well, a new age, so that a turn. When they come to the message, that a doubt, burn the old thing for the past age. You don't come with that. See? So then, when the time comes now, then the Spirit has revealed truth now. Deeper things in the Word now. Deeper things in the Word now. Because why? You obey your ABC. Time for algebra. Everything will put in the rapture. Algebra will put in the rapture. But ABC will get you ready to receive algebra. Amen. He said, they who live humble and right, when the time comes for these great deep secret things, they will get it. He said, they who obey the little things will get it when these begin to come back around.
Amen.
Amen. So when these begin to come back around now, amen, then God begin to reveal that to the ones you can trust.
Amen.
You can't figure it out. You see, these things you can't figure out. You can only come in its season. Sometimes you watch back there, you see you preach something a couple of years ago, and then you watch it here today, and you watch and see, you know, you was getting some light, but what you see now is not even compared to what you only a glimpse. And when you get a glimpse back there, you thought that was a mighty revelation. But then you only see the face of the thing. You see? So then you find that here, you know, the Holy Spirit now, it has taken the bride into a place and has revealed certain things that should not be confused, because the flood of false anointed ones, the enemy will come in like a flood, and God had to raise a standard. And after the prophet went, the flood began to rise and rise and rise and rise, until it started to flood the message, and it gets so scary. People begin to mistrust one another. People didn't begin to trust ministers no more. Yes, people said, I go to church, I said, believe the prophet sent home. When days off the word too, you know? Because you can't still believe the prophet. That is not God's word. You see? Because the prophet will find a home church. Amen. Where support the cause. Where somebody will have a rule over you. Will answer for your soul. You will answer for your own soul. That is if you live somewhere, maybe you have a pastor, no, nothing at all. And then if you're part of the bride, then God will get to that five-fold ministry somewhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See? Because God has a divine order for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature, the measure of the fullness of Christ. The Holy Spirit had to come back after Moses died and Joshua, the type of the Holy Spirit, to bring the people into the possession of the inheritance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See? So when we look and we see that then we find out now that what had happened there, God would have to come back around to do certain things. You see, and this is where many people, you know, they fail to realize, but you see, God had to raise a standard. When God raised a standard, then when the true words that come forth, it's going to reveal. And every man work is being tried by fire.
Amen.
It's showing who build on hay, who build on stubble, who build on wood today.
Right.
Amen. See? You see it very plain, always happening. See, all these things, that becoming plainer and plainer. And then you see, the gates of hell cannot prevail. God is proving His word is true. He said the gates of hell will not prevail. It cannot prevail. Today you could see those gifts that were in the body and those gifts that were not in the body. See? Because there are gifts in the body and gifts that is not in the body. And in the message there are many gifts that is not in the body. And they're preaching apostolic doctrine. See? Because why? They receive it about from a prophet as well. See? And they preach these things. See, and when you will go in any little church in the message, you will hear women must not preach. You will hear women must not cut the hair. You will hear there's a prophet, God sends all. You will hear there's a rapture for the bride. You will hear organization of the mark of the beast. You will hear all these things being taught. Perhaps in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, you will hear this being taught in the air. But how are you going to know in the air now whether there's a gift in the body or not? You cannot know it unless you are a gene of God. You cannot know it unless you yourself are a gene of God. Amen. You know why? Because there is something in you with eternal life that can only hook up with eternal life. And all that has been preached by those gifts that are not in the body, then it is part of the seven course menu also. They are giving out a certain part of the food. But we reach a certain season. It's your spiritual food in due season. There is food for every season. But we'll hit a certain season and they will not have the food for that season. They will run the famine. And when famine strikes, then you'll recognize what is happening. You'll begin to go hungry. And you know, when you go hungry, then and you're not getting food, then it's famine. Because if you're hungry and you ain't getting food, then it's a sign of famine. Yeah. But it's put in the Bible saying, let him know that taste come. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, there would be a call going to that hour, a call to the resurrection. Would really be a revelation being preached. And that revelation will be revealing a mystery showing how God worked from 1966, because Balaam died in 65, right down to this time. Yeah, amen. And then you'll be able then to come into harmony with the head, who is Christ. That the same harmony could exist between the bride and the groom. You see, there's no other way for you to receive that revelation outside of that gene. Because you would not be hungry if there is no gene in you when the famine strikes. You would not be hungry. The same person in the denomination is not hungry. You would not be hungry the same way if you was not a gene of God. You see, you wouldn't be made up to be in the bride to be given it. You wouldn't have been called for that. But because you're made to be in the bride to be given it, there's a deep call into a deep. So you must have that deep to respond. You see? And you find there, 1977, then the Holy Spirit had to drop down there with a revelation. See? There was people who was quicken to get a revelation of their self in the scripture to know that they were members of the bride. These were people never knew, you know. People claimed that they were members of the bride by accepting the message. But the part that they accept and believe and preach was proven by a brother was a part of the bride, not them. And that was being proven by the scripture, which it was scriptural. So the people was believing it all inside of them. And was even getting an anointed faith to believe it. Yeah. Because they were seen in the scripture. Yeah. That he really was the prophet. Yeah. You see? And proving that he was the prophet. But then the time came and they had battles and they had situations, then they began to get frustrated. And it's things that they could overcome. And the world that was operating through him could not operate through them. And they begin to wonder why. Why? Then God will say, then God had to come now in there by revelation and show them what you believe in can operate through you. Because your faith is in the wrong place. For the word to operate through you, you have to believe the part of the world you are. Because he was believing the part of the world he was, that was operating through him. He wasn't believing the Pentecostals was a move of God and brought a body over to them. They must be real men of God in that age. And he was doing the works by that. What was making him do the work? He was revealing that the angel come to him and appear to him and show him who he was in the scripture. He could have preached that, but a bunch of them was very elect too. Because he saw the connection in life. So when we come here, preaching about Abraham was Elijah, and he was the messenger in the evening time. Then what is going on now? That is not how God works with him. If God can show us who we are, and we preach that revelation, and we show who he was, because the same life is connected again, then that is alright. Because if he had only come preached about Abraham and Luther and Wesley, that would be, that would just be a theologian. But he was recognizing a certain part of the world right there for the all, which he was the manifestation of that word. See? So God had to come and give that revelation right in that place where it was needed. And those who was catching that revelation right there at the time, then they was able now to make a step. And then they make a step there and they could have stepped forward. Because the Holy Spirit had dropped down now to begin to give those revelations. To begin to approve who is in the bride. By giving those revelations, God is proving the bride. Showing the bride forth. See? See? And then many people get troubled. That I was trying to explain recently there. To some of the brothers. See? They say, oh, you all make a false prophecy. I said, I know false prophecy. That still stands today.
Amen.
Yeah. The bride is being gathered.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I ain't saying it's here alone. True. No, but you have to get in the gathering the bride because it's a season when the life has to get in the grain.
Amen.
Because, let me show you what I mean. From the moment everybody in the trial was Pentecostals before the message came.
Yeah.
Nobody could have claimed they know revealed word.
Yeah.
Because had no revealed word. Nobody in here was a prophet. Nobody knows no book. But that was a truth done revealed already. Whether somebody catch that revelation. Then somebody catch the revelation. Then the first man who stepped forward in the island there, saying that he believed by our message. And he stepped out from that Pentecostal thing there. Now everybody else in a past age already, eh?
Yeah.
From the time that man stepped out there, all these people back there, they better get into this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it surely life is identified up for the truth.
Yeah.
See, when that started, where people was able to be quick to recognize God interpreting his word in their life. That's the only way I'm going to preach a message. That's how we started preaching. That was not like a revelation. It's how we started preaching a message.
Yeah.
1976.
Yeah.
See? Because why? If you're genuinely born again, that's the way you're going to know it.
Amen.
When you'll know it that way by seeing that you raise up in continue the prophet of fulfilling this part of the world. Because there's a bride raised up after the prophet. And there's a portion of a word allotted for the bride age. And the bride had to preach that portion of the word. But while that portion was being preached, there were many people still identifying the prophet part.
Yeah.
Not knowing inspiration was coming out to reveal Revelation 10:11. Inspiration was coming to reveal 1 Thessalonians 4:16b.
Yeah.
So when inspiration comes to reveal that part of the word, and it's still over here, you need a hangover. Because God, it shows God is moving ahead. Because more truth is being brought to light now. It showed where the life is springing up. It's like how if I'm a Luther, I spring up in Wesley, and Wesley was given a further revelation. Then you had to get into sanctification to be the bride.
Yeah.
And when that was being preached, many people were fighting that.
Yeah.
And they say you preached experience, but it wasn't experience.
True.
See, look at what Winston is here.
Yeah.
You see? But that was a different way of preaching the message coming up.
Yeah.
And that way was kind of strange.
True.
Not like a strange way now, preaching the message so. You see? But that's the way, because the people hearing the message before, what they've been taught them. Well, Abraham is the prophet.
Yeah.
And then everybody get bind that because they say, what the prophet say, say what the prophet say, say what the prophet say, and they bind with the air.
Yeah.
And they're organizing, not knowing they was organizing.
Yeah.
And if this part of the message revealed, then everybody has to back there.
Yeah.
But that's why wherever there are true ministries today, God has to begin to reveal the word that way. Because that is the leadership of eternal life.
Amen.
That is the only evidence you know the people have the Holy Ghost.
Amen, brother.
That is why people just say on them ministers and think they are the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And today they don't carry that same opinion.
True.
Why they don't carry that same opinion? Because they were deceived and their eyes open now.
Yeah.
Because they never knew what was the real evidence of the Holy Ghost. By this part that we're being preached now, showing who really have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Proving it. Who is really born of God. Because remember, in the elected seed, that revelation is laying there in that seed. And when that seed is quickened, out going to come that revelation. All eternal life shall spring forth. It will lead you back to the Word. I know I tell people season, but a minister will say, we talk about season and season and season. But have I ever preached that? Well, I get shocked. I say, crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole world is season.
Yeah.
God has revealed his word in season.
Yeah.
The word will come out of season. It can only come in season.
Yeah.
Because the true anointing is the teaching for the season.
Yeah.
You see? But you find out it was a strange way. But you see, in the end, the Holy Spirit was bringing up certain things here that the people would be able to see. Because there's something in the sons and daughters of God that's waiting there. They really wanted to, when they went to read the message, in their heart, they sincere. They want to serve God. And they see God seen the promise those things. They want to see it in their life. But how to start to become, I don't know. But God gave a promise. He will return. He will hunt out them seed, and the elected ones are the first ones to be quickened. And he will come and quicken them. What will he quicken to? Their mind to the promise. To recognize what part of the word they are. See? Because you cannot have faith to go in the rapture unless you see them in the Lamb Book of Life. You won't even know if you're going. Because you know for a truth, only those in the Lamb Book of Life will be going.
Yeah.
And then you are to be going, you know you have to see your name.
Yeah.
And you know if you don't see your name, then you're sure you're going. You can't have faith, you'll be going.
Yeah.
See? So then now, God has to do something, God has reached that stage.
Yeah.
Lord, go, everybody say they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll come and say, "Buffet, boy, God, get that going, yes? But then you go and preach this in a church that don't believe the full word. What will happen? It will show the whole church that go in one place.
Amen, brother.
Because when you are talking about the word to be interpreted in your life and you are to see it taking place, we talk about the word. We're not talking about that was the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's not a prayer and I get blessed and I get a cow or I get this or sick and go. Not that. The word being revealed in your life. That word. The word that the prophet brought to be interpreted from 1965 until Jesus come. The word inside of the air, that word in your life is what I'm talking about. If that word there is not being revealed, then you're a nice person.
Yeah.
That's all you're just a nice person.
Amen.
See? But when that word has been revealed there, then you are part of God.
Amen.
You came from God. You see? And you find that in preaching there is why you find we're able to have faith
to see God come down and manifest certain supernatural things. See? To see God come down and do certain things. And God been giving the word from a certain angle, and that would have been breaking the influence of false teaching upon the life of the people. Because that's what God does in every age. He sends forth true teaching to combat false teaching. False teaching go forth and pull the people away from the original program of God into a little church, into a little group, into a little interpretation. See? And God will give a lot to preachers, otherwise you get against people too. See? If God will get bitter against people, you think and you... Yes. And what you do, instead of preaching against false things, you sow discord.
Amen, brother.
It has preaching against false teaching, and so in his call, it's two different things, you know.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See, and I remember when we came, when we had Mac Azus for the first time, many seemed a surprise to hear that people never used to be told, don't go to this group or don't go.
Yeah.
Because we never know you to go anywhere.
Amen.
I never try to buy nobody here.
Amen.
Go where you want. Fellowship where you want.
Yeah.
I even say them is we call a mission trotter.
Yeah.
Amen. How you go all about?
Yeah.
Why you go all about? He says, I confused.
Yeah.
I gotta love people.
Yeah.
I love people. I want to have fellowship.
Yeah.
See? I go and sit down and beat me for 2 hours straight on the pulpit. I smile, I shake the other hand, and go back next week. No, I'm gonna get more licked, but I want to hear the word somewhere. Yes? I ain't getting trouble with that. See? Up and down continually, going different places to fellowship, because it's something that we should do. You see? And even today I still stand that, go where you want and fellowship and be free. I ain't saying that it mean that high from well, go where you want to see. Well, there'll be a few places that you might feel satisfied.
Yeah.
Because why am I saying that? Because there's few people who really believe in seven thunders.
Amen.
Which is the word of its fullness, you see? So there it means to say then that you might, unless you're going there maybe with an attitude to encourage or. And you can go to that place and you know it's not the word. And you can back up the word.
Yeah.
The little thing you can get, you can say amen. The little Shekinah. It shows you have a right spirit.
Amen.
I proved that by one of the other Baptist church. And the Baptist church said, amen!
Amen.
Is everybody in church telling so?
Yeah.
He said, we see a crumb behind the from the Shekinah fall. And we pick it up. He said, but they turn around and watch it. See? And maybe I go, I see it. It's not a full word. But when I hear some nice scripture, I say, amen, praise God. They say, raise your hand and praise God. Raise your hand and praise God too.
Amen.
Because it's supposed to be respectful to obey the spirit that is upon the pulpit.
Amen.
See? You say, raise your hand. You're supposed to raise your hand.
Yeah.
Say, bow your head. You're supposed to bow your head.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's disrespectfulness and irreverent not to obey when the Holy Spirit is saying something here. See, I don't say, well, me believe that, that's what they say, raise my hand, raise my hand. I do, so. If you say amazing grace, I am singing amazing grace. God save me, amazing grace. Raise my hand, sing amazing grace. I don't know who study, if I raise my hand and they see me up there and they think I gain influence. I have no image to keep, that I never gain influence, nothing. I don't have the image. I don't want to be so. See, I don't want to go raise my hand with anybody. Where are you hear some things, but Sidney Jackson met him, he said, Brother Abraham was sitting down in Africa. And while I was there, here I saw some natives and them way deep in the jungle, and they come out with this kind of wheat, what it was, and they light some kind of fire, and they bow down, and they throw up their wheat, and they do the kind of business thing. He said, Brother Abraham's passing, Brother Abraham jump off the jeep, run and kneel on next to him, and do the same thing he's doing. I mean, they worship them right there. They don't know what about Jesus, nothing at all. I'm going to get trouble. He said, Ibrahim, what do that for? He said, that man is worshipping God.
Yeah.
Yes!
No, many of us, because all the knowledge, all the books we read, we get a certain kind of spirit, not me. You tie yourself. That heart will rise. When you know you're saving, you know you're saving. You're going to get in trouble. See, and if God send you among people, you go for a purpose, you participate and you rejoice and you get in the spirit of what's going on. Amen. You see, if anything that is indecent or completely the world like something, you need to know that. You see, but I don't want, you know, to be critical and look for something. No, you can't worship God, man. How do I do it in the first place? Because it'd be better off that you ain't go than you go and you try bad influence. Or it'd be a bad example. Yes. See, so when you know you're going, you go with a free heart and participate. Because you see, this thing what we're talking about here, a revelation, are you seeing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Something that's happening to you. Something that God has done for you because you are always part of God. So that you conscious by and through you God fulfill your work. This kind of thing is God again in people. So this is that kind of thing. I'll get trouble over this. Please God. No! Isn't it done in that? You see? You see? And that is why you find, you know, to make a stand and preach certain things and it look like it'd be hard many times. But there is no spirit of indifference. Or there is no spirit trying to pull down nobody or show nobody a certain way. Or trying to pull nobody across here. Because you know, sometimes, you know, people get inspired, you see. And they see something and they feel they're obligated to tell the world. And they run away and tell this one, you see. You see, but Atlee, we see, mustn't tell everybody everything. You see? You see, this is a thing here, you have a... You see, you have to be conscious of what you're doing. These are trying to convert everybody, no. You have a testimony, you give a testimony. Don't pelt no stone and throw no hope in hell. You see? And especially, don't throw dirt behind little fish. Look for the great big ones in the rainbow and set your hook for that. Because that will all be attracted by truth. But you'll all get a line tangled up with little fishes. You see? So you get little fishes, you get a line tangled up. Though, you see, you don't get a line tangled with little fishes at all. You see? So you see what's actually happening. We're looking for the big ones in the rainbow. If Abraham was looking for them, we just had the same spirit as upon him. We're looking for nothing else. See? I ain't too in church, man. Best you have 5 people full of the Holy Ghost. Then there are 500 they born again, you know? Yeah. That's 500 problem you have, you know? Yeah, that's 500 people who's uncertain of God. But because Abraham's in the Ephesian church, and there were about 12 people. He said, and there were powerful churches. He let men God turn the world upside down. Back in that time, we were full of the Holy Ghost. And the same today, if we have that kind of people today, then you'll see the same kind of thing taking place. You see? So, tonight you're just talking to you a little bit. Because, you know, you find a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about the nevertheless of that word. It is I, be not afraid. And in preaching there, when I came to preach that morning, Sister Sandra's having a baby. We never had that kind of thing there before. She's having that baby right there, and when the note came up before the service started, I said, you see, this is what's happening here is for a sign, for a purpose. And, you know, we are talking about a birth is a mess, and how you should have the press and the strain and the labor, how all the time she's coming along good, but then she hit the time of labor now, where she had a press to bring the life that is already begotten, already formed on the inside, into a manifestation on the outside. And that little spirit was hanging around her for a little season there, you see? Be waiting because it know the body done form in there for the end to in. Just as the Holy Spirit dropped down here June 3rd and hanging around us. He's hanging around, you know? He's here hanging around because why? He know the life is forming certain people.
Amen.
See? What about births? The blood begins to speak better things. See? Now watch. So when that time come here, Then you find out, in preaching and message, we tarry long that day for about 4 hours preaching. And then I said at the end, he said, I believe something has happened here today, that we come to the end of something. Yeah. See that we come to the end of something. Not knowing Wednesday, I was going to come now and preach entering the secret closet. Yeah. What I preached there, listen carefully, what I preached there was that when God come and show you it is I, be not afraid, and tell you something, you could do it. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that what I preached? Yeah. I said, you tell Martha, roll back his stone, you can roll back his stone. You know, you're not going to do it. You see? You can tell them, go and show yourself to the priest, you can do it. You see? And the same way I was saying, how you tell Peter, I say, even though it's against your better judgment, you can do it when he come and show it his eye, when he shows himself, and say, you know how he showed his eye? He says, go back to the scripture. And he said, go and tell John what you see, so and so and so and so. So John can know it's really him. See? And then I took all his second cycle and he knew many things. I said, if you're looking for Jesus today, these ideas are fulfilled. Just like you know, Peter and them back there. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor, the people of them. If you come here today, when you return, how are you going to return? You have to reveal this in your language, all the new name, all the what is something unfolded into, all the second side, you have to reveal these things to show you every time. See? What does preacher say? I said, go and tell John disciples. See? No, saying something there. I mean like those who still under the prophet. You see, like John. The Son of Man is revealed, he introduced. I said, go and tell John disciples. Go and tell that the second cycle has returned. The unknown language has been revealed. The fire quickness here, the new made thunders is in the bride. Saying those things. Showing them that is he identifies and says, it is I again. And then we all pledge, nevertheless, O Lord, at thy word. All he says. Now, I didn't know that more of 10 vision, the censor, are going to preach that day. I didn't know that more of that, you see. So I come there during the week and the Holy Spirit come and show me there in the word where that was said by the prophet, all the visions are fulfilled, and then the secret, enter in the secret closet. So then, because when he came back from Arizona, I was saying they always say if the dove is here, then the atmosphere will be created now for supernatural instructions. And there I was reading the Nevertheless, I read where Jesus was instructing the disciples what to do. He was on the scene. And when he on the scene, even though you do something, he said, do it over. Do it over. Amen. Forget I do that whole night. Forget that. Amen. Forget what you know. Amen. Nevertheless, O Lord, at thy word. That wasn't a message, that was something being said to us. That's why we pledge to be listened to our word.
Amen, brother.
See? Then, India now, the Holy Spirit, come back along now. And on Wednesday, preach, enter into your secret closet. See, I can't preach that. Right here on Wednesday night, enter your secret closet. I will say, when you get near, shut your door behind you. See? I'll be the enter in now. No, that life is a separated life now. Yeah. Because if we got it Sunday morning saying, I said, no, we have entered into a secret closet, but Abraham had to enter there because the time is going to come, no more impersonation will take place. No, I said for 15 years, we'll have groups and man interpretation in the message. But it always come now, we'll have no more interpretation, no more impersonation. Because why? All the followers will be manifested. And while I was preaching, I said, remember until June 3rd, when the rain began to come down? I want to play part of the tape tonight, that you'll hear it for yourself. You see? I want to play back that tape to show you on Sunday morning what was being said. See? I said, on June 3rd, when the Holy Spirit began to come down now, I said, all them spirits will come up and manifest itself. You see? And then I come and preach from 2 Timothy 3, and they shall proceed no further. May the 21st says, finish! The joy ride is over. See, all these things are dry up now. You see, because God done with these places. Then, if I want to happen now, you end the secret closet. And that's when Brother Branham now, after he came off the field, he was going into the secret closet now. He was going to a phase of the ministry now where it will not be impersonated no more. where the folly of the impostors will be made manifest. And you'll find for years we've been coming through that everybody had an interpretation, had an interpretation, had an interpretation. And every man can have an interpretation right. But it comes to a place where every interpretation has been proven was not a true interpretation to be a false interpretation, because the difference could be told now.
Amen, brother.
Now that God has come to reveal that that word had been interpreted in your life, that history has been made, to show your answer by the son, by your working. If you can't prove your answer again by your working, something wrong with your actually see. You see? Because in proving his word, he said, I have faith. You gotta prove your answer by your working. You only got a sum. You get an answer. To prove that answer is correct, you prove the answer by the working, you know? But if you prove that you're working, you can't get an answer. Then there's somebody, you're going to do something in school, and you can't go down and you want to do some. Who's the teacher in school that is? Maybe that's some bright people here. And you make a little thing inside, and you kind of make it kind of dark, like you can't tell whether 3 or 5, because you're sure. And then after you put your answer, big and bold and nice. You know? Like, so you do your homework in school, and you know, we come out here, so you can't just do subject in college, you see? Elementary school is different. And if you do your homework in detention, yes. See? So then you go by them bright children and you watch all the answers and they come real fast. So you sort of finish quick, you come out the answer before they walk in. So then you try to put a little fast work on the side here and so that I do the rest of the paper and the paper home or some kind of different thing, you see? Now any good teacher now might get one right there or might know a certain question on the paper to ask you a certain thing that only if you can do it, you're going to answer that question, you see? Now many people don't like me because they can't question and ask. See? Then we can't question and ask. If you're getting that, how you get son, how you get son, how you get son, to prove you get that. Yeah. Now, once you're getting that question, people get troubled to the family. They feel you want to believe the thing when you're criticizing them, you see? But many times, though, it's just why we take and make belief when it's kind of fully genuine.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So this is the thing. So you find then that I come to a place then. That where now, if a person is claiming something, you could prove now, by the word, that if they really have that. Yes. Because if they have that, you see, there are certain things that have been revealed in this season to make certain things plain. They could prove whether a person is the grain or the carrier.
Amen,
you could prove that. You could prove a person is in that cycle, under that inspiration or not.
Yeah.
Because there is a history of experiences you must pass through before you come here. You can jump up, like I was saying on Sunday. If a man here, Jesus tell Peter, go and tie in the upper room, go into Jerusalem, and you shall be in the upper high. And a man said, what Jerusalem, that's the place, nice, I find out. He jumped in a chat and he flapped Jerusalem. What's going to go on with what's wrong with them? You think he'll get anything? No. You have to be justified, you have to be sanctified. You have to be understand, hope, you have to be the policy of the Holy Ghost. Then you have to get up there. You see? Your soul, not your body, your soul, have to go through certain experiences before the soul come in a shape to bring that down.
Amen.
Unless the soul don't go through them experiences, then you would not be able, you see, to claim those things. Or you must have the half of the Chinese ticket to dovetail the other half to claim your inheritance. You see? So you find, this is what you find have taken place, and I said, now that we enter into a secret closet, then watch that said Sunday. I said, watch now, you will see that that nobody will be able to cross here unless you're ordained to come in here into this closet, because this is the meeting place now. I'll meet you in the air, in that secret place where you're shut in with God and in the Word. God, the Word is very covenant in effect. They are meeting you with, in the world is meeting you. You see? See, there's only one place God meets a believer where you choose a place, his name. And you have to find that place and God will meet you there. You see? And I said, look, when the squeeze come out, you third pull. But he said, I'll meet you in there and that'll be the third pull. I said, look how he is revealing that place to us now to enter in there before the squeeze come. You see, because it's the third pull we're getting ready for. But here now, if you stage in the message where everything have to dry up and only the life will get in the grain, And the promises is for the grave, because the seed will not be heir with the shock. Because the life in the harvest time is in the seed. And the promises is for the seed, not the shock. Because the seed, where the life is where all the characteristics is to identify Jesus Christ today. You understand that? So then we're looking for Jesus Christ, then we're looking for the seed. Then what is the seed? You see? Then we know what the seed is, then we can recognize Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. You see? And then when I came and preached that, then I came back to this and I preached, fear not is only third pole. It's only third pole. And I took that word from the attraction in the mountain, when the angel put the sword in his hand and said, fear not. It's only the third pole. He thought he was going to die, but he says, this is that third pole back there, the vindication of ministry. The same angel who told him, go in that place, came to him and told him, this now is the third pole. So here now, he doesn't try to interpret it no more, because God was interpreting his own word by bringing the past.
Amen.
You see what I mean? And he said, actually fit my hand.
Yeah.
I got three materials. Gold, silver, and pearl.
Amen.
You look at 1 Corinthians 2. See? Is any man lay that foundation? See? And build upon. You build upon either gold, silver, or precious stone.
Amen.
See? And every man who build wood, hay, or stubble, that man will be tried by fire. And the fire shall declare it. See? So the word coming back to us. See, and that word coming back to us there in this evening time, he says, and it actually fitted him. And he said, he waited there for 8 years in that place where he came in shape that word could operate through him without a flaw.
Amen.
Without a flaw. It was perfect every time. See, and now the Holy Spirit is telling us, I said, that part of the message should have preached first. But it could not have preached first. I didn't even understand what I was saying and what I meant. I said, that part had to preach first. What are you preaching here now? This part should preach first because it's the first insight. I said, where Brother Abraham get the terminology about first pull and second pull and third pull was after that vision. Before 1955 December, he never knew nothing about no first pull, second pull, and third pull. Though he had the sign in the hand and though he had the discernment.
Yeah.
But he never just called it pulls. Until after he saw the vision, the angel said, that was your first pull, and that was your second pull, and this will be a third pull.
Amen.
So then he went now looking for a third pull. See? So I said now, look, when he said, I want to get these things, because when you go and further, like from tomorrow night, you'll understand better now when I speak what I mean. You see, because we don't want the intuition of the word for us. So I said, look, there it was now, where he went in that place, in that secret place, and he was waiting for his third pull, and we should have preached that part first. But how could we interpret that? We wouldn't know what the secret place was. We wouldn't know what the third phase was. So God, all these months, was preaching about the real gift of God, about the unknown language, about the life between mercy and judgment, about all these different, about greater works than these shall you do, why the third pull couldn't be impersonated, all these things were being preached. You see? And then we understand our souls in prison and all these things. We understand now where the Pentecost can stuck can come. Remember I say we stand up here and we preach the people back there?
Yeah.
And we're trying to bring them from there to over here. Because we cross the chasm and we're back here.
Yeah.
And we could tell who born again and who not born again, because those not born again are still back past 15 years.
Yeah.
Talking about the prophet. And they don't know what God did for the past 15 years.
Amen.
But there are people knowing what God is doing now.
Amen.
And that those 15 years is really eternity, is eternal life.
Amen.
Because only those who have eternal life could be quickened to come up dead over here.
Amen.
I said a body in church in 1982 here, but a soul is back there. So they shut out. We shut in something here. And God, that Shekinah, is upon his word here. And they are veiled from his presence back there. God, they believe a historical thing. Though they're a church. You see? So it says, Lord, we take that path. We could prove now what that path was. You have to try to put an interpretation to it. It is interpreted to itself now. Because the first phase of the promise was the signs. The second phase was the light. You had two climaxes. If you look at the little track I have there, you'll notice all this in the track already. Two climaxes, two commissions.
Yeah.
You had a first commission, 1946, to go and pray for the sick. You had a second commission to open the word.
Yeah.
See, you had two climaxes to reveal the written mysteries in the first and second pole. With the healing and revealing the written mysteries. Then you had the second climax, which is the third pole. We're in the seventh, and I said the seventh angel, the messenger of the seventh age, had revealed the seventh seal, and was on the seventh peak, waiting for the seventh vision to be fulfilled. Seventh vision was America to be destroyed, Sodom to be burned. Right? The seventh peak, where he saw his name written, he said that the third pole, and that's where he is right now. I said, but he had three phases of that peak. First phase was the opening of the word. Second phase is the spoken word, and third phase is the preaching the lost. But he never preached the lost. And that third phase of the third pole is what we're waiting for. Because we are in the third pole ministry. We didn't come in the first pole ministry. We didn't come in the second pole ministry. We're in the third pole ministry of Malachi 4. We was caught by the word. The word was to track us. See, but there are seasons of the opening of the word, which is the calling of the names, and that have been going on the world for all these years. See, so now that we enter in here now you're going to see that nobody will be able to come except the ordain of God to come true, because it's for the elect now. Because remember when they get on the gene, when they get on there, it's only those who have a convertible nature, who are sealed inside there. You only them. See? Otherwise, when you get on there, it's dark as pitch for the rest of them. They have no gene to quicken. They are not in the spirit and they mimic.
Yeah.
So, for years, we had mimics in the message. There was mimicking all the time. But the fall has been manifested because why? The message dropped over to the gene of God, the soul. And when you get the soul or the new birth, it's a big of the second fall mystery seventh seal. It's to reveal the part of the world they didn't fulfill now. And then we're able to see where they couldn't come. They couldn't cross there. See, so they stay back on this side. When they stay back on this side, they'll come in the second resurrection. They will not be in the first resurrection. They'll go through the tribulation, you see? So in seeing those things there, then I came back Sunday morning, preaching again. Fear is only third pole, but I went to give the exhortation for a purpose to show in giving the exhortation there. You see, I call it exhortation, but the word of preaching, but I put in that in there, and the Holy Spirit, maybe didn't know when I was speaking there Sunday morning. I was saying, I see what people might say, I'm preaching this to them. But because the Holy Spirit was speaking very directly on Sunday morning, without very, very plain. Yeah? So one time, Lord was saying, and you find, look, many people here, right now you see it. I say, right now you see it. And it's plain. I say, you know why the atmosphere is free here? But when you go back, man will try to beat you down and put it back on it, you see? And those things, you see? And what was happening? The Holy Spirit was going out there. I said, man, I hold on to a man person and go on man and get someone compromising, and that's why God is coming, calling them back to the world. I said, every time I come to the pulpit, I can feel the Holy Spirit wording into them things and blasting out those things over the people, because they get someone compromising until they rather hold on to a man and let the word of God no more. You would hear that Sunday morning, yeah? No, that was me. I wasn't saying that. The Holy Spirit saying all those things. Many of you will know that now. See? So you see afterwards, they know, because what have happened, what have caused the thing, the people never know what the message was.
Yeah.
They preach the message the wrong way for years. You see, because here, I was trying to show, ain't no revelation to get outside the messenger. What they get with the messenger already got.
Yeah.
But the emphasis is at a different place today. Because another part of the same message being fulfilled. Because a threefold mystery.
Yeah.
See? So you see what is happening there. And that way, Father, coming in here, many of you could see that God was confirming the inspiration from June to December. God has given us inspiration and identified many things. That's why I was saying, Brother Abraham had a promise of the third pole, but he was under the anointing of the second pole. But he was prophesying the third pole, talking about it. But then one day came, and he's in the woods, and he slipped into the anointing of it. And he says, I watch it. He says, in his infancy. Then he says, we are in the process of it. Then he says, no, totally vindicated. Amen. 4 years after, he says, 5 times. You see? So watch. So what I say, all the years, this has been preached now. It was been preached since 76, you know.
Yeah.
All has been preached in 1976.
Amen.
But what's happening now is really the Holy Spirit coming back along now.
Amen.
You see? And identifying that the inspiration for this is here now. You see, because the Holy Spirit wants to bring back things to remembrance, teach you all things and show you things to come.
Amen.
And if God had never shown us things to come years before, we'd have no expectation for it.
Amen.
The way it happened, we wouldn't know what happened at all.
Amen.
But because we could look, knew there was something to come. What do you mean to happen? We can recognize what is happening.
Amen.
See? You see, so you're showing us things to come. It is like prophecy. Showing us things to come because all of them have been preached about God is going to bring in the people and these things. That was spoken in France. We only have about 20 people down there.
Yeah.
We came up here and God brings some up here. And then from here, we went about only 15 and God brings some more there. You see? But we had no idea of what it was going to go to, you see? But then that's why we're just watching these things. We just watch it and see what they're going to come out to. You see? Because something that's happening, which we are conscious of it happening, because we are all part of it. You see? Now we're not trying to run ahead of it, but we know we are following His divine leadership. You see? How are we going to yoke it up? Because just like when he said, never listen to thy word, and then he comes and say, go in there now, and then he can come and can show these things now, then you know it is. So he has been given the word since 73, he's been given the word like that. See? Even before he started to preach, God has given the word like that. I was in a church, sitting on the end, and God revealed to me the seventh church, Asian Genesis, right there one day like that on the bed. And I write down like quickly, I never read any message, but I get a revelation. You see? Because of the inspiration from the seven church ages. Thereafter, I see Brother Bram say, he says, look, this Ephesian church is like the book of Genesis, because the book of Genesis is the beginning of the Ephesian church. Ephesian church is the church of beginnings.
Yeah.
He said, what started in the Ephesian church will come right back to the end, come back to the same thing. Yeah. Like a seed. You see? And showing all those things there. Right? He's sitting on that church there, he's preaching. And there's a kind of a war in the spirit there. Because why? You see, and when he preaches, he gives what he calls homework. People don't write down, I said, I wouldn't write down none. And he'd come and it would be like a war in the pulpit. You see? And he'd be beating and beating and beating the enemy in the congregation. But I can't do the homework because he's seen that foolishness. You see? So there, when you see that going on, you know, I had to leave. Because I haven't gone and come to preach yet, you see. But I see, and observing, and watching, on the different ones. Then the time is going to come, you see. So when the time is going to come, now then the Holy Spirit, now, you know, all this is like revelation already before he's going to preach. So you're preaching, you know, like what you're going to preach. You're preaching the revelation because you already given.
Amen.
See. And then God has given more and more and more and more of it. And that's why today, we can look back to 1976 when we started here to see how God worked right down to this time. Different ones come in different junctions, but what didn't start June the 3rd? No. June the 3rd is that inspiration me to come now to bring to life these things now so that God can show forth that the life will begin to get in the grain. And that all those things are man is finished. That's what God did here. That wasn't for us alone, that's for everybody in Zion. See? That wasn't for us alone there, that's for everybody in Zion there. Julie told you. See? But who is part of it will be part of it. who is not part of it will not be part of it. You see? And that way you find 1975, the seven tunnel was preached in Trinidad when Brother Kuhlman came. It was preached there. See? I should say not in the fullness of what it is, but it was preached to an extent that we saw more light where the seven tunnels was. God had been preached, that wasn't preached back there. But more light than what we had, and to identify things about the seven tunnels, there was a promise that we should be looking for, this was preached there. And from 75 to 1982, here we are. What God has done, Judah, to God, from the time that I was preached there, we said the truth. Yeah, we said the truth, and we said preach those same things there from 1975. Was there like a continue? When I didn't preach, we just see like it was something further down the road. We were seeing like we've seen something there, we've seen more like what we were just walking into. See? So then here in 1982, what had been done by God through those things is what He said the seven thunders will do. Amen. Everything He said the seven thunders will do. You can look back for this 5 years and see it did it. You see? Because what do they believe the seven thunders was about? Just maybe 20 of us. 30 of us. When we believe the seven thunders. You see? But the seven thunders was to gather the bride together. To give up faith. But faith is when you recognize yourself in the Word. Amen. So then the seven tunnels have to be a revelation to show you yourself in the Word. Amen. And that's how we started to preach it until people say, you're not preaching those seven tunnels. Because I wasn't listening to Brother Kuhlman teach and preach it over. Amen. Because I couldn't do that. Sure. Because what God gave me from 73 is what I preached on 73.
Yeah.
I couldn't throw it out and then pick up something else and preach it. You see, I was seeing certain principles and certain things in the Word here to enlighten me more in a pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
To operate as a pastor in a pastoral ministry. You see, because there are many things in the Word that can only come by revelation. Through an experience, not a learning. You see, and when it's preached, it will produce the life it's supposed to produce. If I learn, it wouldn't produce nothing. It will just produce a knowledge. See, I look at the sisters there. For 4 years, we've been having our sisters meeting there. When they were told by a dream, shows that they were there. The sisters was not ready. And then the boy was dressed in a certain uniform. It's after a dream that this meeting started. See? And then a couple of years ago, 4 years. And we never had no trouble with fight and conflict and sisters and this and that. And we never had at all. We never had that trouble at all. But this is the last and this is the last. We never had that.
Amen,
see? Amen. They sit in the church here, quiet, obedient. What are they trying to do? They're willing to do it. Will they always come and around and hear the word and obey? Never had no little clashes. Nothing would go on the outside and I know him. See? And this is where you ought to be.
Amen.
See? We had trouble more with brothers and sisters. When you're not backsliding, but you're backsliding, not your sisters.
Amen.
We never had trouble with backsliding. We never had that. You see? And I've gone for years to where it come to that they find you among them. I could say this thing because I know what's going behind. I was behind. You see? Yes. Because the way we started was just like under the house, and I was just like wanting to preach, that's all. You see? That people in the family were like, I know minister, maybe you come around and want to coach me. You know, you're a coach, I am too, eh? Yes. You know, people that come around and coach me. I already have pressure, while I draw my sword and chuck the spirit in peace and sweep it out of the church. And then they realized that they don't try to coach me at all. Yes. Because I receive no revelation from man. I'm not taught by man. What I receive from God? By a visitation. By a divine commission. Yes. I have met the pillar of fire. Many saints have depicted here. We are depicted inside. See, that came in 1976. So, that's, I guess, my instructions from. That's where I preach, where I preach. I go anywhere and preach so. Because I know it's on his strength I'm doing it. Many people don't know I can be popular. I don't want to say. Yes. They feel you you preach so much, but I don't know what, I don't know what to say. I'm gonna come right here. But yield yourself to God and depend upon God. Yeah. Trying to live close to God and live right. Yeah. You see? See? That's why I say, don't try to make me nothing. Don't try to see me no certain way. I know the next step when I preach tomorrow night. I know I'm gonna preach tomorrow night. I don't even preach Sunday, you see? So don't try to make me go and do that. See? Then I call the athlete just not to. You see, sometimes we can testify to people and make them feel here is something. Here is nothing. You see? If we don't try to live right and obey all the word, here is nothing. We are believing a word that was given by a vindicated prophet. That we believe in. That I preach so hard yes Sunday morning that we can't get no revelation without the prophet. I am a repeater. Yeah. I am a repeater of the prophet preach. Yeah. But they can't repeat correctly unless you get revelation of what you're saying. Yeah. It's a God to repeat. Yeah. Because I echo is a John. Yeah, John. I echo the same voice. Yeah. I echo another voice. I echo the same voice. Yeah. And it takes himself to come back and say what he said. Why is he here revealing all these deep secret and tie it up together and make it plain right in the word? Then you just can't fear to believe it because it's too plain. Yeah. If these things wasn't preaching with that clarity, many will get trouble, you know? Yeah. Yes, but it's because it is clear in the word. So, and when it being said, it's his own word saying it and clear enough thing for you to see. It's not no word bending, it is the understanding of what you were saying. You see? And that is why you see, so it is his message. It's just echoing his message. This is what it is. See, if I go say, I have some revelation. My inspiration is coming off of these books. See? I read the Bible through this. Yes, I read the Bible through this. And any man who has read the Bible and they read this, he is quickening it. Man is at all. They have the Bible to make it look like a message from God, you see? Yeah, yeah. Yes, and they can get the message in here. Amen. But let me tell you, this is a seal of the seven seals. Yes. And nobody could have read this. Yes. It's these things what open up this and show what was inside of here. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when the ministry of the mission will be finished, the book will be opened. Then you know what will go on. See? And he was a divine interpreter of the word. Because that's what prophet means. A divine reveal of the word. When he says scripture means something, you could preach different things off it. But when he said mean that, that's what it means. See? When he come and tell you that is a fitting here in the picture, don't try to put it, otherwise you mislocating it. See? You see, because we never had a prophet for hundreds of years, for almost 2,000 years. We never had a prophet in the land, on the face of the earth. You find man for centuries get so wrong in the Bible school way. But when a prophet come on the scene, then we come out like Joshua and them. Joshua take what Moses give him. Moses gave him 5 books, and Joshua said, meditate in that day and night. And in another generation, all these things are come part of the Bible. Yes, sir. You see? Amen, we're going to have no more generation. You see? Because he says, when I read Sunday, he is going to give us messages to dovetail all scripture. Amen. So look at dovetail all scripture. Which is the message that he give at all? Otherwise, you might get the wrong thing, you see? So, you see, what is really happening, I say, just for us, where we enter in here now, here we come to try to live consecrated, close to God. I just want to read one or two quotes out of the message. We go to pray. I want to be able to intervene because this is what, as I told you, the first message Baran preached, where he spoke about the vision the first time with entering the secret closet. And under the inspiration, he went and took up Hebrews 10, which we're going to read just before we pray also, where he said, enter into the most holy place. So I want to read something here. Baran was preaching about the tabernacle in the wilderness, about the three sections of the tabernacle. You know, Moses was told by God to pattern what he saw in heaven and the earth, and he built a tabernacle, but that tabernacle was a type of Jesus Christ. Amen? And the bride was in Christ, because the bride is who forms the body of Christ. And then them three sections of the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place, represented, you know, where the mercy seat was on the earth, was in the most holy place. That is where God is to meet with the people, in that most holy place. That is where the Shekinah glory is to come down over. So I'm paid something in a veil. He said that's what the matter with the churches today. I hope you see it. Oh my, when I can see a preview of it, that makes me rejoice, seeing that our anchor holds within the veil. Now notice in this inner court, the people that live inside here seem to have always fed up, always feeling good. You mean fed up, eating plenty. Ezekiel said, I write my laws on you and put it in the heart, where the law used to be on stones in the ark, and the ark represents the heart. Then I will put my new law in their hearts, in the ark. The heart is the abode of God. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in his glory over the ark. And the heart is the ark. God dwells not in the head, in the heart. God's not known by theology. God's not known by mental conception. God's not known by theology. God's not known by mental conception. God's known by the old-fashioned, sanctified, born-again experience that's in the human heart. Yet, man and woman live a good life and love God by mental conception. But the real hiding place is in the heart. Hid with Christ, and when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, he's in you, with your temperament. He's living his own life through his own will through you. I know it sounds awful, but it's right. So yielded you are that Christ speaks the kind of words he'd speak. He thinks the kind of thoughts he would think through you. He does the kind of works he would do through you. You are yielded and resting. What a beautiful picture of a consecrated Christian. Yielded. Work Christ working through. Paul said, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Not me that liveth anymore, but Christ liveth in me. Christ living in the individual soul that is surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips, thinks through the mind, sees through the eye, acts through the temperament. Then the things of the world has passed away. How can it be anything but sweet and pleasant all the time? Christ has got control. Do you see it? That's what it is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. He says, into the most holy place now. He said, into the holy place. Aaron went once a year. The congregation watched him. He was dressed right. This is the place we are told to go into. He had to be anointed right. He had to walk right. Blessed be the Lord. Dress right, walk right, anointed right. He had a bell and a pomegranate on his garment. As he walked, they prayed, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He had taken before him a charge of blood of the Lamb, the blood of the atonement. We need to bear the message for the hour. And he was anointed with the robes of Sharon. Get a picture of the real believer coming in here. When we enter in this place, he said we're walking right, dressed right, anointed right, coming with the blood to enter in there. Amen. And the anointing rolled off his beard plumb to the hems of his kilts. He was walking into the inner court, into the presence of God. And when he went behind there, the veil fell behind him and he was shut off. He was hid from the outer world. There is a hiding place, an abiding place. This is what he was preaching about when he saw the vision. The first time he came telling the vision to the people, he preached this message, the inner veil. And he went to the Old Testament tabernacle, which represented the believer, which represented also Christ. And he was talking about the holy place where the Shekinah glory is coming up, where the ark is there in the heart, and the stone, the laws in the ark. And that law is what Moses is on the mountain on the Villa God to wait. And Moses take the word and put it behind Badger's skin, where the glory is over that word. He said that is what happened today. He took the word to put behind human skins again, where the glory of God is. They can't push in that. You become the written epistles, real known of all men. He said, we can walk in the presence of God and be hid from the things of the world. We don't hear them no more. It's soundproof. Soundproof. The world is on the outside gasping and looking, but you are on the inside in the presence of the eternal, everlasting God. Eaten from this manna that will last for a span of years, hundreds of years, it's never contaminated, neither did it give out. And a man that once walked into God and the veil drops behind him, shutting off the things of the world, he's in the presence of God eating manna. No wonder, he said 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or anything, he's living in the presence of the King. No wonder, every day is fine for him. Look where he's at. He's found the secret place. He went behind the veil. The doors are closed behind him. He don't see nothing of the world. These doors are made soundproof by the sheepskins. And that is made soundproof by the goatskins. And that is made soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Ghost that hides the man in Christ and there becomes a new creature. He walks daily before him in this manner. Amen. What a beautiful picture of a believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. All things were given to Christ. All that God was, he pointed to Christ. All that Christ was, he pointed to church. And then Brother Bram tied in to John 14:20. That day you will know that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, and I in you and you in me. At that day. I said, I will the day star rise in your heart. Amen. Oh, the privilege that the believer has, if they only could accept it. You say, Brother Bram, you got a picture here under the consideration, but how do you get it? Talking about the picture where he expressed about the tabernacle. Then he said, that's the next thing. How do you get into there, Brother Bram? Here's the way they come in the pattern. Amen. Then it will be explained by the first altar. No, everybody know the Old Testament thing? They come by the altar, the brazen altar. And by the way, how they labor, they wash the animal. See how they get baptized? Then they come in there and they burn the sacrifice, the anything. And then they come into the inner court where they sit down like here. Amen. They sprinkle with blood. See? They're under the shed blood here. And in here, they have the seven golden candlesticks. But that is a light that they have to light one to the other. And the oil that is burned down sometimes. See? And that's why they keep putting more oil and lighting back up. You see, but when they went past there into another place now, into the most holy place. Now that first court was there, was really out there holding the hand, the flesh. See? And then he went to the human spirit. See? And then he went to a place. He said, only high priest is going there once a year. Amen. But going there, you ought to be walking right. Anointed right. Dressed right. And when you go in there, you'll be shut in and nobody else can go in there. Now that way the Pentecost can come over. See? Because in there was beyond them even the lights. Are them seven candlesticks? Yeah. I was saying Sunday. Them seven candlesticks with the light of the seven messengers. But in the end, it's to be living in the presence of the Shekinah himself. He himself has come down. Now, after he had the seven stars, them seven messengers, down came the Shekinah himself. Yeah. And the seven messengers are not here no more, amen. But the Shekinah is here. Amen. He's only in the church. You see, that's the light we walk in. Him in the two Exodus here, you see. He said, when they wear that veil and they shut in there, that veil is dropped around them. And they shut in the presence of God. And this is where God is bringing us, enter into there now. Because it's time for the third pull. See? Enter into there. Shut your door behind you. Enter that most holy place. But how are you coming in the other day? By a new and living way. The veil that veil you off is the veil of man tradition and these things. But you're quick into the word for the age. That unveils God to you. That shows you the presence of the living God. That is what you're going to. Amen. Where you can live and be anointed by His Holy Spirit. Amen. You're coming into the presence of God where you're becoming anointed by His Holy Spirit. See? Want to get something here? Page 27. Brother says, among transfiguration, when Jesus stood transfigured before the apostles, when they look up, they seen just Jesus alone. They said, they seen Jesus only standing there. He said, oh God, hide me in that place. hide me over in that place. No, you see, he's under the inspiration, the vision. And he's speaking about a place. And God show him, this is the place I'll meet you. He said, no. And they'll let him person this one no more. See, he's praying. He said, Lord, hide me in that place. Where the veils will drop and I'll see nothing but Jesus himself. I don't want to hear the fantastics in the world. I don't care whether they got atomic bombs or they got jet plane or they got new Chevrolets, look better than the Buick. It doesn't matter. The thing of it is, I'm walking and living with Christ daily outside myself. And the veils are dropped along. I am in He and He in me. Then he said, let the storms rage, my anchor holds within the veil. Can't tell you why we have a lot of storms on the sea this day, but I'm thankful the anchor that holds steadfast within the veil. When she's a rocket, it looks like every move would send her to the bottom, yet my anchor is in the veil. He said, God help us this morning to enter into that inner life. You hear what he called it? And a few messages, he began to preach on 1956 while he's under the inspiration vision, talk about hidden life with Christ and inner life and these things. Because he was by the inspiration, he was seen, he's entering in into a secret hidden life. To the inside where you're shut on the world now. Where you're going to be he and God. He was going to know, as he was in the Father and the Father in him, so as Christ is in the Father and the Father in Christ, so Christ in us and we in Christ. You see? He said, help us to enter into that inner life. Quit staying out here. We are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Every little thing that comes along. Don't you know that the Bible says in the last days, how man would come and be like angels of light in the last days? How do you take revenge and devils, ministers, are angels of light? Don't you realize that? Eve was seeking new light when the devil talked to her and caused every graveyard to be out there, caused every insane institution, every penal farm, caused every death, every sorrow, every starving baby, every dying mama. See? She was searching for something new. She was looking for something that she could find. Oh God, take me back to the Shekinah glory. Take me to the veil with you. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Lord, let me lose myself and find it in you. Get into the inner veil where all these houses of the world. The Bible said in the last days, you'd come a famine upon the earth, not for better water alone. And notice I'll get to it maybe sometime, how he tied this secret place into spiritual food in due season. He said we are entered into the secret place and we're eating the hidden food. While he's speaking here, he said the Bible said there'll come a time of famine and a Jezebel religion, but I'm like Elijah, was directing his message to the White House. He said the last message Elijah had, he directed to Ahab. To Ahab throne there. He said Elijah come down to the river there and direct his message to the White House. And he preached Jezebel religion with Kennedy and these things. And then he come there and he prophesied there shall be a famine. And spiritual food between that time, then after that he got a dream, stop food, he didn't stop food. Then on spiritual food in new season, when the food stop, he say enter into a secret place and feed on the hidden food before the judgment strike. So I want you to notice these things. Here it was, the time of the famine is going to come. He prophesied the famine, he stopped the food, and then we entered into the secret place and we feed on the hidden food. Then we revealed that. Here you are saying now, in the inner veil, talking about the secret place, the same secret place, he says, for the hearing of the true word, the people will go east or west, trying to find the always here. The always here when man are putting themselves up like gods and want to be glorified. See? We don't want that. Amen? Paul said, I have one fear, and that is except you try to worship me inside the things I'm preaching. See the fear? I never come to you to die with a man who is about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That your hopes will be built on that. Today, the humble day, the people are scattered abroad. Amen. Page 35. He said it's all the 23 years of my ministry now. It holds Jesus tighter, if not tighter. She gradually winds against the cross because it's pulling me closer to it all the time. God grant that each one of you have the experience of living a close, consecrated life. They were going to be to it, Paul. I was watching some things today. The first scripture comes Matthew 6:6. The second scripture came in the third Paul was 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. Keep the feast of the 11 brothers in sincere truth. That was in the paradox. You see? That was to bind, that's to get the part of binding member. This was in the secret place, and then that already ended there. Keep the feast. So you see what you're talking about? I want you to understand what's going on. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, Jesus is the eternal forever. Just when he brought the prophet to the third pole, where he comes down, realm and come in person, no more. He's bringing the true bride away from the shock now. The seed is separated now and entered into the presence of the Son, into the presence of God, into the place where she'll be living in the presence of God, cause great life, where she would get the king's sword, where this would be that third pole. But in there shall keep the feast of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, to get that king's sword. See what he's saying? I want you to understand that. If you get that, you get a picture. So see, listen close now before I close on that. It isn't the blessing that you receive, the shout and glorify God. Those things are good. You're eating manna. See, eating manna, you're shouting, praise God, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But that is nothing, you know. It's something still beyond that. Anything you do shout, if you shout, you resist emotion, bet you bury it, pack it up and bury it. You see? You see, because everything, any wrong emotion is dead. See? Get revelation, you see it in the book, and I shout like John. But that is not it at all. He said, it isn't the blessing you receive and shout and glorify God. Those things are good. You didn't matter. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. He says, it isn't whether you raise up and spoke with tongues or whether you shouted or ran up and down the building. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hidden away life in Christ. Where all the time, day and night, you just live in Him. That's what I'm talking about. So, you see the secret place? What we're talking about, could we all stand our feet? Turn to Hebrews 10. Reading of verse 19. We spent a little while just raining, you know, quiet. We could just come quickly and pray a little bit before we go, amen? Yeah. Sorry I talked so long, but I just feel free in my heart tonight to just speak to you out of my heart. I didn't have mind the sin or them things I say, but it just came inside of me tonight to say it, so I say it. So I trust it helped me to understand certain things. They'll be able then to be better positioned in the world and the things that's happening at this present time. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see this place? Notice last week was enter a secret closet and shut your door, Matthew 6. Now this week here, in the same inspiration, just another scripture here now, just more of it, so you can get a better picture to relate to what you're doing. Enter into the holiest. And this Paul now is speaking of the same thing here, what Jesus talked about in St. Matthew 6. You know that? Paul is talking about the same thing, but Paul is just bringing out the revelation now of how you enter into that secret closet. And he's going back to the tabernacle and in the wilderness, where the presence of God, the Shekinah, will be behind the veil there, where the ark and the testament and all these things will be there, where the man in the golden pot used to be there, all these things. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, is a new and living way now. The Spirit of God quickening your mind to the word, taking off the religious veils, interpretation veils that veil you from the presence of the living God. God interpreting his word for this hour. But now you break beyond those veils and you're in the presence of God himself. You're worshiping the living Christ. Amen. Which he had consecrated for that through the veil as he says flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with our heart in full assurance of faith. This is the second scripture I read in Tucson when the dove came down. I read Hebrews 6 and this scripture here. And here it is tonight, I come back to pick it back up right here again. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You get that there? You see it coming through, your body being washed with water, then it being sprinkled with blood, and then you enter in. Amen? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider, notice, let us draw near, verse 22, let us hold fast, verse 23, let us consider, verse 24. One another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you notice what verse 26 to 39 go into? Notice the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there? This first part about the believer who go into the holiest place, and this part about those who can follow there, who came up to the borderline and turned back, and they had to be judged. And notice when I preach the line between mercy and judgment, is this scripture I preach here? This second part of the scripture? You all remember that? Right here, I took it with Hebrews 6. You see? Making particles of the heavenly blessing and turning the truth. And with this Hebrews 10, because it's the same thing. Both of them speak about judgment. See? And here it is, right here. You see the Holy Spirit, you know, showing that there is one same scripture. And we put the judgment part where they who hadn't that gene to be quickened. But this first part, Hebrews 10, 9 to 25, is speaking about the ones who are entering into the holiest place. And these here say, let me read the other part to go outside. For if we sin willfully after we see the knowledge of the truth, there are made no more sacrifices of sin, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, who had conquered the blood of the covenant. Notice the one coming in, the veil is coming in with that blood. He entered in the holiest by that blood, the blood of Jesus, the bloody covenant. But these counted the bloody covenant with which you are sanctified and an holy thing, counted sanctification, you see? And are done despite under the spirit of grace. The same blood that sanctified him is trampling upon that blood now. See? Where he brings into the promise, he's trampling upon it. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto the Lord, as a recompense, said the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hand of the God. But call to remembrance former days, which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. See, people try to reproach you because you make a stand for the word. See, after you were illuminated, after your understanding was open, and when you see the word, people say, you go up there, and you leave, and God clears your church, and all kinds of things. See, a great fight of afflictions you went through. Partly, while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, while you became companions of them that were so used. See, and then people are bad tired, and but as soon as you go up there with, you see? For you had compassion in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoil of your goods, knowing yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, dear, for your confidence. Where you get that confidence from? It's by a revelation you will go up your confidence in your heart. Because you were illuminated and you receive a confidence. A revelation. So don't cast that away. You see, he come back speaking to believers here now, you see. He's speaking about the believer, then he dropped to those who sin willfully. That means disbelieve willfully. Then he come back now to those here who had a better reproach in these things. The believers. He says, for you have neither patience after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. So while the rain is falling, we can just maybe spend a few moments in prayer tonight as you enter into the most holy place and you let the veil drop behind you. But when you come in blood tonight, come in the blood of the covenant, come anointed. Come walking right. Come crying, holy, holy. Let your bells ring out, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen. And let that song prevail, drop around you tonight. Amen. To shut out the world, the things of the world, and all these things into God's presence. Because why? You are being consecrated for a work. For a quick, short, powerful work. The boundary will drop down that dynamics upon you. To display his greater works that he promised himself. But here, since November the 25th, God has called you to pray. A call to pray. We didn't even know when it comes to the call to pray, we'll be told to enter the secret closet. We'll enter the most holy place. We didn't even know. But we just come because of the inheritance time. And I want to show that the inspiration was. I came and I preached the first night down at the Jordan and Paradox, crossing over, getting ready to inherit the promise. To the huge portion of heaven, keep the feast of the unleavened bread. And this is right there, where I've got the scripture right there. See, I took a scripture right there, is where I took. And I'm going to show you that same huge portion across Jordan is the same little room, the holiest place, with the third pearl, and all these things that's happening here today. Most holy place in the inner corner, I'll show you the same thing. To show you, it is not man, it's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit doing these things. But God is bringing us to an awareness of what is really happening. He said, call the prayer, and I print out the tracks, and I give each one of you the track, the call to prayer. And we started the call to prayer right there at the Jordan there. I said, get ready to inherit the promise. And here we come along into the secret closet. All these things, but just God opened out the entire world for us that we could get ready, because He's getting ready. But here He's taking the place in the right place now. See? Where we can have faith in what we're going into, because it is revealed unto us what it is. So when you say entering, you can know what you have to enter in tonight. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes? Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. Till in your own good time, you answer my pleas.